I'm Fresh, and you are now listening to The Breaks Podcast. These are highlights from our Saturday night hip-hop show on KUTX 98.9 in Austin, Texas. My co-host Confucius Jones and I are native Austinites, and we love talking hip-hop. Texas hip-hop, hip-hop history, and what's going on right now. And just so you know, the opinions expressed in the podcast are our own and do not necessarily reflect the position of KUTX Austin.
We here to take over the airways.
You are now rocking with The Breaks. I am Fresh.
I'm Confucius.
And we are here to, continue to commentate on the culture as much of it as we can in this state of things. I guess that's the appropriate thing to say.
With the world still being on fire.
Yeah, still burning like a ball of confusion.
Good. What is it? Temptations reference there.
Yeah.
But yeah, so how you been doing, brother?
I've been all right, man. This week has been, it's been a little emotional. It's been a little, it's hard to describe coming off of our very emotional Black AF show last week, and then coming into this week and still kind of seeing the same topics dominate the news cycle. It's been a little, I guess, here and there, I guess is the best way to describe it.
Yeah, you start to feel a little selfish trying to fish for music news, and to be fair, there really isn't any music news.
Right. Everybody, not much music has come out. Not many music. Not much, I guess, quote unquote gossip has clogged up the news talk as usual. But so, all there really is to talk about is what is the situation at hand.
Yeah. Even Tekashi was just trolling, paused his antics for what's going on. So
That did happen. That has happened. To be honest with you, I had noticed. I kind of muted his name and did my best not to see what he had, anything he had going on.
No, I think he was supposed to put out a single or something. He's been pushing it back. That's what most artists in the culture are doing. Nobody wants to be the one to appear selfish and put out a project or a big single, and other issues are being addressed.
Unless it's something that goes, like a song that goes with what is speaking on what is going on right now. Like Conway put out a song called Frontlines, but it was more so, the content was more so speaking toward the subject matter.
Yeah, and I saw Run the Jewels put out their next album early. Mm-hmm. And for free, so because they felt the subject matter was relevant to the times. But yeah, basically, like you said, people that are putting out songs or albums now, the bigger ones are putting out stuff more relevant to what's currently going on in the entire world. How do you feel about artists that are putting out stuff that might not be relevant to the times?
I don't knock them for doing it. I get that. Some are still moving with the sense of business as usual, and that is how they eat, that's how they get their money. So they're not doing it, but I do think it's kind of selfish that you can't put a pause on it just for right now. You'll be all right if you don't put something out. I don't think anyone is just desperate to put anything out. Like, I don't think it's an artist, a major named artist out there that's dying, that's just has to put something out. If they don't put anything out, then they're not able to buy groceries this week or something. So, like, it's a little selfish, but I get it. Like, but I personally think they can hold off just a little longer, another week or so.
Yeah, and selfishly as an artist, I would imagine you would want to put out something that gets the full attention you feel it deserves, and you're not going to get the full attention you want right now. Granted, I highly doubt everybody's listening to, protest music right now. I'm pretty sure people still listen to, uplifting stuff and stuff they listened to beforehand. It's just kind of weird to listen to new stuff.
Yeah.
Right now. So there was a song that Young Dolph and Megan Thee Stallion dropped a few days ago.
Yeah, that R&B.
R&B, yeah. Which would have been a bigger song had all this not been going on. It was horrible right. timing for it. And that would have been newsworthy because Dolph and Moneybagg famously don't get along. Nobody said, I didn't even know the song existed until somebody told me my job.
I saw it pop up on YouTube, and I thought it was like one of those mashups that people, that YouTubers do, and I didn't think it was an actual song until I kept seeing it, and I was like, oh, so this is real. They decided to do this now, and I was just like, oh, okay. I haven't played it, so I don't know what it sounds like, if it's good, if it's bad, but I didn't think it was just like poor timing.
I mean, it sounds like what you would expect.
So. Oh, well, all right. That gives me... that lets me know all I need to know about it then. I'll hear it eventually.
Yeah, facts. You know, but everything going on, and we, like I said, we spoke about it a lot the last podcast. Everybody has an opinion, which is strange that everybody has an opinion on something which should be so cut and dry.
Yeah.
To me, it's more of an issue of fact, not opinion. So some celebrities are coming out. How they really feel about it, you know, black celebrities, which is even wilder because you would expect them to all be on one side.
Yeah, but clearly that isn't the case. I don't know which all ones you saw, but the main one that consumed at least my timeline, my social media, was Trina.
That's what I was alluding to.
She was on a radio show in Miami.
Yeah, her and Trick Daddy have a with a
show. Yeah. They have a strange relationship at this point.
I mean, they're kind of relying on each other for relevancy, in a sense. So,
I can definitely see that now. Now that you say that, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. So, I guess they were discussing the protests that were going on in Miami. And Trick Daddy clearly understood everyone's anguish. And... how everyone is fed up, as we spoke about
last
week.
Well, he's made music to reflect, you know, what's going on.
True. One of my favorite songs is America by Trick Daddy. Trina, not so much, though. Trina, not so much. She didn't really get it. As Trick Daddy told her, you take everything personal. You could clearly tell in her discourse, it became really personal with her. And I get it, but... I think this is one thing where you kind of got to look at the bigger. You have to look at the bigger picture. You can't just look at how this directly affects you.
Yeah.
Because it's not something that just... this situation isn't just about you.
That, you know, Tory Lanez had a conversation with Shamika, who is Tiny Harris's...
Chicano.
I never get her name right. She's friends with Tiny Harris, who was T.I.'s wife. And she not famously, but went viral because she was crying about, you know, high-end boutique stores in Atlanta getting broken into.
Gucci, to be specific.
And Tori had to educate her and like, hey, you know, like, it's fine. Gucci and them will be okay. Like, you know, people are really pissed off and this is why they're rioting and protesting. And so Trina had a very similar sentiment to her as well. Like, oh, you know, breaking into my friend's stores and... you know, all these high-end places I can't go shop at right now. And, you know, these looters are animals. And I was like, whoa, read the room.
Yeah, when she said animals, I was just like, just quit talking. Just stop talking. Just somebody tell her to stop talking.
What's interesting to me with people like Trina or other people who come out, you know, and once again, we're never going to get on the show. We said this is the podcast. We're never going to get here and tell people you need to break into stores. But we also said we understand it, you know. Martin Luther King understood that once you try for so long to be peaceful with a certain approach, at some point it's going to get violent and out of hand because people don't know how else to respond, especially when you're coming from nothing and you grew up around abject poverty or you were lower middle class like a lot of us were. You know, for you to get to a certain level financially or career-wise, you know, success-wise, and then to talk down on people that you and people that you should know and understand, that because you should have grown up around, that's the part that's mind-boggling to me. Like, that's why I can never just straight up come out and be like, hey man, everybody's out here just doing all these wrong things. Like, bro, I get being that pissed off. I get that. I mean, yeah, there's people out there taking advantage of the situation. That's everything. People take advantage of no matter what. It's work at Walgreens. And there were certain items, if you bought them, you get Walgreens bucks. People go in there and buy just the most random items, get Walgreens bucks, and come back the next day and buy a bunch of stuff for free. people take advantage of situations. That's just a given. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, when you come from the bottom, for you to get to the top and then look down and be like, oh, how could they do that? Those animals. Like, who do you think you are?
Yeah, and that's what gets me about people like a Trina. Like, how can you sit there and you... I get, like, being upset that, like you said, people... There are those who take advantage of this who are strictly out there just to loot and to break into stores and get what they want. And I get her friend was affected by it. But, like I said, when she said animals, that's when I was just like, somebody please just tell her to stop talking. Because, like you said, when you are someone who has grown up in that and grown up around that and were a part of that, and then all of a sudden you send to a certain status, how do you look down and just say, how do they dare do that? How can they act like they're like, you don't get it? Like, I know you get it. I'm sure you get it. So how can you think just because you have a certain amount of status or a certain number in your bank account that all of a sudden you're exempt from it and you don't, it like, none of it matters anymore? Like, just because you escaped poverty doesn't mean everybody else did, and it doesn't mean that things change just because you are now out of poverty. And I think that's what it is with a lot of our black celebrities. Personally, it's my personal take. I think a lot of black celebrities get their money, get their success, get their status, and they forget about the struggle because they no longer have to struggle and they're out of it. So they turn a blind eye to it and it doesn't matter to them anymore, and they feel like they can sit on high and look down and call people who are frustrated and fed up and angry animals or thugs.
Yeah, what's even crazy is that, you know, Trina makes music for like those, you know, the hood Miami girls. Like, that's the music she makes, like the city girls, and even like Kai hates Trina, but the Kaias and, you know, just female rappers in general, southern female rappers. Trina's a legend in that regard, and you making music,
a huge influence.
Exactly, you're making music for these girls, and you're basically talking down to them, which goes back to nothing I hate, just not even this situation, celebrities in general, when they make music for a certain, you know, demographic, or, you know, try to speak to a certain group of people, then you find out their opinions is like, you know, these celebrities don't even like these people like that. like, how do you make music for people that you don't even like? But it just goes to show that you kind of have no choice, and that's the saddest thing about Trina. You know, I'm a Trina fan. You know, for her to say that was just like mind-boggling, because Young Miami or City Girls came out and was the exact opposite. She, you know, was supporting
the exact opposite, a complete 180.
You know, and I'm not to say that I didn't expect that from Young Miami, but I was happy to hear it. Once again, and Young Miami's probably not that far removed from poverty herself. She's probably like, yeah, I get it. You know, I just got money. Trina been successful for over 20 years, and Trina probably thinks she's so far removed from it, it doesn't bother her. But it's funny, because if you watch like Love and Hip Hop Miami that she's on, Trina likes to tout herself as like the queen of like the hood Miami girls, which, you know, there was an argument that she was, but now you lost that crown. I'm at the point now when it comes to these celebrities, just anybody in general, like, if you're just not gonna understand the movement, I'm just done with it. I'm not gonna sit here and hoping fingers crossed that you come back to the light. Like, I'm not doing all that.
Yeah, that's more so where I'm at with it. Like Tori said, if you don't really have anything to say, if you're not in support of what's going on, then just be quiet, bro. Like, at this point, I would much rather you just shut up. Just don't say nothing. Because I don't want to hear this PR-written apology that they all seem to give when they realize and they've sat down and they've seen the backlash. And now they don't want to ruffle feathers. The feathers are already ruffled. Like, you already rubbed us the wrong way. And I don't need this apology because you said the stuff. So, like, even stand on it. Now stand up. Don't come back and apologize after you've seen the fallout and you've heard what people had to say about what you had to say, and no one's in agreement with you. Like, Drew Brees.
Yeah. Drew Brees.
Like, Drew Brees made his statement. Was it yesterday in the interview? Yeah, he was being interviewed and he was asked about how he felt about players in the NFL kneeling for the upcoming football season, NFL season. And he basically said he had no respect for anybody who chooses to disrespect the flag. And once he said that, the boy from Westlake, Austin Westlake, Texas, he received all the backlash that you would imagine he would receive in this time for saying something. I'll just say it's something as ignorant and stupid as that. He put out his little apology today with the black arm and the white arm linked together in a solidarity. But at this point, Drew, it's too late. You should have thought about that. You tout yourself as this guy, you know, who's for the people. You do all this great work after Katrina in New Orleans, and then you fixed your mind and your mouth to say what you said, and it shows that you still don't get it. And more to me, it showed that you didn't care to get it, like, because you're still holding on to that sentiment. So you're not really sorry that you said it. You're just sorry that nobody picked up your sentiment and ran with it and felt the same way.
Like you said, he came out with a statement today, you know, saying, you know, apologizing, you know, and didn't, for disrespecting anybody, or if anybody who might have felt disrespected by his statements. But that's just because he had to go to that locker room and see all those black faces staring back at him, being like, "Really, bro?" And so he's like, "Yeah, I don't want to make sure that my offensive lineman remember to block for me.
Block
when it comes time that ball gets snapped and I don't get knocked out." But the unfortunate thing with him is that you're in a city of created and run by black culture, and that city has openly embraced you after you left San Diego. And for you to say that, it's not like he's, you know, in Green Bay or he's playing in Denver. Like, you're in New Orleans. Like, New Orleans is black as hell. And you're sitting up there saying, like, "Oh, you know, if you're disrespecting the flag, hey, bro, come on." Like, this, you're talking about a broken record at this point? Like,
yeah.
Like, why would you eat?
Read the room, Drew Brees. Read the room.
You know, and the always go to that same old sentiment, like, "Oh, well, my family. My grandfather and fought in World War II." Yeah, because black people also fought in World War II as well. And came back to racism. My grandfather fought in World War II. So, like, I don't want to hear that. That means some people couldn't even fight in World War II because they were too busy being sharecroppers in the South. So, I don't want to hear. In New Orleans. So,
yeah.
Whatever, Drew Brees. Whatever. I never was that big on him anyway. Westlake is not. It's not the place I hang my hat on to be proud from Austin. So, whatever.
When he said it, I was like you said, I wasn't shocked. I wasn't surprised. I was just like, "Oh, well, I mean, at least now we know how he feels." We're taking a quick break. Be right back.
You know, with everything going on too, there's been a lot of talk about, like, you know, how the music industry should react to the current events of the world. So what was it? Tuesday?
Yeah, Blackout Tuesday.
Yeah, Blackout Tuesday was put into effect, where people were supposed to put black boxes on their Instagram to show solidarity with, or to address what was going on. At first, it was kind of confusing because people were putting, like, Black Lives Matter in the hashtags, and then that kind of blacked out. If you clicked on the, you know, hashtag Black Lives Matter, it would just be a bunch of black boxes.
Yeah.
And then there were people that were concerned about what the music industry's aim was for doing it and how much they have contributed, you know, financially to the cause, to different causes. So there was different, you know, there was a lot of different opinions on it. I did the box thing. I didn't put any hashtags or anything. I just did it just, you know, to show solidarity. I also heard through the grapevine that it was two black women who came with that idea, and record executives. Also, what I've learned too is, unfortunately, when it comes to approaches on causes like this, you know, racial causes or just the revolution in general, everybody had different opinions on it. So, you know, I saw people, like, trying to, you know, shame other people for the black box, like, "Oh, how could you do this? And this looks stupid. What is that doing?" And all that. And, you know, I tweeted. I was like, "Look, all I need from anybody is to be on the right side of history. Don't let anybody shame you into being on the right side of history, and whatever way you want to do it, whether it be financially, whether it be mentally, whether just something small as support, whatever. Not everybody's gonna go out there and be a Malcolm X or Martin Luther King. Like, not everybody's gonna go out there and has the mental capacity to go out there and protest every day. I get it. I wouldn't judge anybody who told me, like, "Hey, man, I don't feel comfortable going out there and seeing what the police are doing to people." I'm like, "Hey, that's fine. Like, everybody's supposed to be on the front lines." And when you join the military, they don't throw everybody out there on the battlefield. Some people got to sit inside and cook. So some people got to get the mail together. At the same time, as long as we're all part of the same goal, then that's all I can really ask anybody. So, yeah, when people, I started seeing people saying, "Oh, you look stupid with these black boxes." I'm like, "Bro, shut up. Like, calm down. Like, it's fine."
Yeah. I didn't post. Well, I posted a black square. I was honestly confused about it because it was a lot of information being thrown out there, and people were like, "Don't post the black box. Don't put the hashtags." And so I did it, and then deleted it, and then just started sharing information.
Yeah.
And I found a post that was saying that's what it basically was. You post the black box, but that's not all you're going. That's not all you're supposed to do. You're not only supposed to post the black square, post that and share information for people in protesting or information about black stories, black voices. It's supposed to kind of help amplify that. So I just did that. I posted a black square via the Breaks account with a nice little caption and a message to let people know that we are here as the Breaks as a whole in solidarity with everything that is going on. But like you, I saw people trying to, as always with anything, I saw people shaming other people for posting the black square. And so I just tweeted. There's always been more than one school of thought when it comes to the advancement of black people. Don't let that divide us like past black leaders have allowed that to do, because in the past, black leaders have always either thought that the school of thought that they were prescribing to and the way that they went about it in the struggle and in the movement was the right way, and everybody else's way wasn't right. Some people prescribe to the nonviolent way of Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King famously did not like the Black Power movement or the Panthers, but it doesn't mean the Panthers were wrong, and it doesn't mean Dr. King was more right. Some people rolled with the Nation and with Malcolm. But like you said, not everybody's going to be Malcolm. Not everybody's going to be Farrakhan. Not everybody's going to be Dr. King or Stokely Carmichael or Bobby Seale. So whatever you prescribe to it, as long as we're all fighting for the same thing and going about however we're going about it for the same goal, then it don't really bother me what you do. I mean, whether you posted the black square or you didn't post the black square, whether you donate money or whether you out on the front lines protesting, however you feel is your way to be a part and involved in the movement, I'm all for it, man. It's like I said, it's always a different school of thought. W.E.B. Du Bois and Marcus Garvey famously didn't like each other, but mm-hmm. neither one was more right than the other. So, exactly. I mean.
In this day and age, you know, I'm just relieved just when people just understand, you know, the plight of black people. I'm like, okay, good, you get it. That's all I'm asking. I'm not expecting you to go out there and, you know, donate a whole bunch of money or to be, you know, protesting out. It's fine, just as long as you understand, because you'd be surprised how many people don't understand or don't want to understand.
So, especially that last part, not wanting to understand.
I know, like I said, you would think a lot of this would be common sense, but the fact we're even here shows that it's not. So yeah, that's why I say, you know, don't let anybody change. If you're trying to support and say, hey, look, what's going on is wrong, I want changes, you know, just like I want changes that you're asking for, then hey, thank you. That's fine. If you want to go out and do more, that's even better.
Yeah,
that's great. But if not, perfectly fine. It's perfectly fine. I know some people out there, they're kind of scared to say something. They're like, I don't want to. You know, I don't want people to think I'm not doing enough. It's like, bro, if you understand it, it's okay. I've never changed. Like you said, there's so many different schools of thought. As long as everybody has the same goal, like you said, for the advancement of for black people and our plight, then it's fine. It's fine. I'm not going to, you know, as long as you're going to say anything stupid, you know,
yes.
I go back to a stupid train of thought, then yeah, I'm fine with me.
Yeah, I think understanding is the first step. Like if you want to, like you said, if you want to help, that's great. Well, just understand what you're helping and what you're pushing forward for. As long as you got that first off and first hand, I'm cool. I'm great. I'm good with it. Like you said, if you want to go out there and you want to do more, you want to go protest, you want to donate, you want to open up a community center, that's even better. I'm all for that as well. But first, before you do anything, just understand or at least empathize with the plight.
Yeah. And there are some people who I've seen that don't seem genuine. I'll admit that. Like there was somebody in the city who made this post about, like, you know, everybody should be treated equal, and this is just, it's not about the color of your skin, and, you know, black people are getting treated so bad. And I'm like, you said a lot of words just to say black people are getting treated bad. And then hashtag Black Lives Matter, then hashtag after that All Lives Matter, and she promptly got deleted.
Whoa.
yeah, it was, yeah. And that, I've seen that a few times from people. And I'm like, okay, that goes back to you not understanding what is being said. And you're trying to look like you're in the know of what's going on, but you're clearly blind to, tone deaf to what's going on. That type of stuff is infuriating. What I don't have patience for are people like that. Like, that is where I have a problem. Like, you go over there then. Once again, I'm not explaining to you. At this point, I'm not when all 50 states are protesting at once, when the world is on fire, I'm not explaining jack squat to you. Because at this point, you just you don't want to know. So yeah. When I see stuff like that, I'm like, yeah, no. Okay, bye.
Yeah, and my thing is, if you don't know or if you don't understand, just ask. Like, just ask. It's really that simple. If you truly care and you truly want to help and want to be a part of it and you don't get it, just simply ask. Somebody will explain it to you in a way that helps you understand the plight better. But if, like you said, you're just going out there and you're just saying stuff, trying to make yourself seem woke or involved or just in the know, then yeah, I don't really have the time for that, because you're doing it more so for a look and not genuinely trying to be a part of a solution.
Yeah, this person too.
That's what we don't need.
This person was even out there protesting, which once again goes to your protesting sometimes isn't enough people's understanding. You just go out there because you're like, oh, I see a bunch of people out here, I want to seem like I'm a part of it, but then you leave that and hashtag all lives matter. I'm like, yeah, see, that's why, you know, you got to sometimes. That's why the bare minimum is all that I ask. That you're smart enough to realize a hashtag like all lives matter right now, so it looks extremely stupid. But sometimes
and if you put in that hashtag, then you really just don't get it.
Yeah, like, you really don't get it.
You're oblivious to what the point is.
Yeah. So. So, you know, once again, protests going to all 50 states, right?
That's amazing, by the way.
It is amazing. This is considered the biggest mass protest of all time. Civil rights mass protest of all time. I saw Warner Brothers music group donated $100 million to different causes. Shout out to them, because, you know, I think they're the only major record label to donate any money. Which is very sad, considering how much money black culture gives.
Pushes the industry.
Exactly. I'm anxious to see what a lot of these companies do to amplify their black artists in different ways. Because now more than ever, you need voices of these people. You know, you would like to see people who benefit off black culture, you know, do more. Drake donated money. I saw that Floyd Mayweather paid for George Floyd's funeral.
Yeah, I saw that as well, which I honestly kind of was shocked.
Yeah, I can see that.
I was kind of shocked, just considering Floyd's history when it comes to things like this. He doesn't always say the right thing, but I will give Floyd this. I don't believe Floyd is one of those people who has gotten his money and completely forgot about the struggle that he comes out of. He's from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Yeah.
And I think he still remembers, like, yo, it was hard in Grand Rapids.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. Breakfast Club interviewed Rush Limbaugh.
I didn't even bother to watch that.
Oh, yeah, I did. I wasn't going to support that. Like I said, we're at a time now where, you know, I get opinions. I'm an adult. We all have opinions. It's my opinion that Godfather 1 is better than Godfather 2, but there's people that believe Godfather 2 is better than Godfather 1. That's an opinion. Fine. It's a fine opinion. Speaking of, by the way, I started watching Harry Potter.
Is this your first time watching it?
No, I have to watch it all the way through. My wife wants to. So.
Great movies, man. Great movies.
See, that's an opinion. So far, I'm not entertained, but we'll get there. But, so, you know, well, I say that to say, like, you know, Rush Limbaugh is a conservative radio host, one of the biggest radio hosts in the world. And he has said some things that go against the ideals of what is trying to be done now. And once again, I don't feel like we have time to waste to try to have conversations with people who might be too advanced in age to fully understand what's going on. If you didn't understand it 20 years ago.
Why would you understand it now?
I don't need to talk to you. I understand the need to have hard conversations, but I also understand the need to have hard action, and that just seemed like a waste of time. I'm not interested in having conversations with people that, once again, should have understood this a long time ago. Some people, yeah, I do believe some people are lost causes. You know, he went on that show. I listened to Mate because my wife started playing it. I listened to like 3 minutes of it before I went up, got up, and used the bathroom because it made my bowels move. But it just, once again, it sounded like a waste of time. Like you just sound like, oh, I just think what happened to him was so wrong. But you know, nope, I'm out. I'm out.
Once you say "but," it negates everything you just said before. So.
I'm out because you know these same people tore into Colin Kaepernick for his peaceful protest, and now all of a sudden they just, I get why things. No, you don't. No, you do not.
I saw it, and that's how people were talking about it on Twitter, and I was like, what? Who? Like, who was on The Breakfast Club? And then I was on YouTube, and then I saw it come across my, suggested for me, and then I was like, Rush Limbaugh was on, like, The Breakfast Club? I was like, why? I was like, that was, more than likely, that was Charlamagne's idea, because Charlamagne is one of those people who believes you can sit down with the enemy and those that are against you and make them see eye to eye. Clearly that didn't work because he sat down with Tammy Lauren and she's still doing what she does. But like you said, someone like Rush Limbaugh, is he like what, pushing 80?
I don't know. He's the same age as the Emperor from Star Wars. I don't know.
That man is stuck in his ways. And like you said, if you didn't understand this 20, 30 years ago, what made me think you sitting down now is going to make you understand the plight now? And it's just like, I don't need to sit down with somebody who has drawn their line in the sand and continue to draw their line in the sand over and over and again and let us know their stance. I don't need to sit down and talk with somebody like that.
It's somebody who makes a living empowering
the years,
who makes a living empowering the other side. So
right, I don't really need to sit down and talk with you. Like, you've done that. You've made your stance clear. You made, like, you chose your side of the fence. I don't really want to hear anything you have to say on this topic because you said it decade after decade.
Yeah, I'm good. I don't need to.
I didn't get why they took that interview, but I guess, whatever.
I mean, that's The Breakfast Club. I love the show. Been watching it since the beginning. They've had controversial people on there, so I get it. That fits their aesthetic and their brand. I'm just not gonna listen to it. And that's my, I mean, they'll still do millions of views, and you know, they had Tekashi on there at his peak of his trolling before he went to prison the first time. You know, mm-hmm. Farrakhan's been on there, Umar Johnson's been on there,
RZA Islam.
Yeah, so that's their, I get it. I'm just not gonna have that conversation. Once again, we don't have time to waste right now with people like him that have made, like I said, a living of just trying to empower the other side. The people who listen to him don't understand what Black Lives Matter means, and some of them don't want to understand. It's not like he's coming from this perspective of, like, you know, I really try to make show both sides of it, and nah, I'm not doing that. Nah. Somebody made a point. You know, there's been a lot of pictures of people, you know, hugging, like, police officers or whatever. Somebody said, well, you ever see the X-Men hug a Sentinel?
I saw that and I retweeted it. I thought it was funny, and two, I thought it was dead on.
That's a good one.
Yeah, man. Like, once again, you've drawn your line in the sand and repeatedly have drawn your line so deep into the sand that it's a ditch now. So, yeah. Like, I know where you are. You're in your ditch, in your bunker. You good. Like, I know where you stand on this yeah. issue. I know what side of the fence you are on, and you can stay over there.
And now it's time for our first segment of the night, Unpopular Opinion with Mr. Fresh himself.
Alrighty, so unpopular opinion this week really may be unpopular. Really may be unpopular and probably ruffle some feathers. So with everything going on with the protests surrounding the death of George Floyd, I've been on social media. I've been trying to stay off a little bit because seeing all of that, seeing everything can kind of be detrimental to your mental state. And I'm trying to take care of myself mentally. But with that said, I saw something interesting. Well, it's interesting, but it's something I see quite frequently. It was a call for top athletic prospects to ditch going to a PWI, a predominantly white institution, or a major university, and instead take up a scholarship at HBCUs. This is something that I am also in favor of. because I think it will do some good for HBCUs. If top prospects choose to go to these universities, I think it'll help with funding. I think it'll help with awareness. And the stigma, and with this stigma about HBCUs, that most are party schools or they aren't as good as other institutions. Well, my unpopular opinion comes in with this. HBCUs still have to follow NCAA rules and guidelines. So with that being said, those kids will still be pumping money, billions of dollars, into the NCAA. And as we all know, the NCAA isn't always the greatest. NCAA catches a lot of flack for having all of these student athletes generate billions of dollars for the institutions and the NCAA as a whole, and they reap no benefit for it. There are two D1 conferences in college sports, which are the SWAC, which I attended the school in the SWAC, Prairie View A&M University, and MEAC, which the Great Hampton and Howard University are a part of. I kind of feel like if top prospect athletes, whether it be football, baseball, basketball, track, if they go to these schools, like I said, it'll still just be business as usual because these schools still fall under the NCAA guidelines. It's not like HBCUs function outside of that. Now, not everyone. Some are private institutions. Some are in. Some don't fall under like the football college, the FSC for college football. A lot of them don't. But I do think when money gets involved, corruption happens and things get taken advantage of, and I don't see it being any different when it comes to HBCUs. HBCUs have corruption and money being taken advantage of without top athletic prospects attending those schools. Every year we seem to hear about a president who has misappropriated funds at a university that happens to be an HBCU, and they're getting the boot, and they took them $250,000 and spend it on the front lawn or something, or bought a new car or a house. And HBCUs, while they are great, they are no stranger to the same ills that befall major institutions, major PWIs. Like, they go through the same struggles that a USC does. They go through the same struggles that a UT does. So I don't really think it'll be any different in that regard as far as money and players being taken advantage of. That's my unpopular opinion. And now is that time of the show, ladies and gentlemen, where we get a little bit more wisdom than we had a second ago. Here is Confucius Says with Confucius Jones.
So, you know, once again, the current news cycle is dominated no longer by COVID-19, but by the America's original sin, racism. Protests are happening in all 50 states, which is, I've never seen anything like this. Once again, we mentioned earlier in the show, this seems to be the biggest civil rights protest of all time. It's good to see so many people trying to be on the right side of history, because if you traditionally look at history, it's very revisionist. A lot of people like to say, like, oh, Martin Luther King Jr., no, y'all hated him when he was alive. Don't even get me started on how y'all felt about Malcolm X. So, it's, you know, it's good to see that so many people understand the plight of black people in this country and what in the humanity that we're asking for. The main subject of what is being asked is how police deal with black people and their interactions and their policing, right? A lot of talk has been on solutions, whether it be defunding police forces or, you know, not giving them so much money, not militarizing police forces, putting more time into teaching them how to interact, of course, with black people. Because I read somewhere that the number of hours that comes from, like, you know, to de-escalating situations that are taught during the police academy is very minimal, which is insane. For me, in my opinion, I'm not the biggest fan of trying to ask your oppressor to treat you differently when the oppressor thrives off a system of keeping you oppressed. There is not one thing that I've seen in the police currently that I feel needs to still happen in the future. Because clearly the system, there's not a broken system. The system is doing exactly what it's always supposed to do. It's not that, you know, these incidents are happening and they're so isolated, and they've been happening for over 100 years. You can defund the police, whatever. You can take money away from them, but still, but the system that trains them to be those police officers is still embedded into them. Basically, what I'm saying is I'm just very skeptical about people that are having this whole thing of like, we need to have open dialogue with the police officers. I'm also very skeptical of police officers acting like they're in solidarity with the movement. I saw a video of police officers taking a knee to try to draw protesters in, and they just used that to arrest them. Houston has a police chief now who is down there acting like he just sold with the cause. But when he was in Austin, he left over 2,000 rape kits untested. You know, I counted up to 10 people of color shot under his watch, and body cam footage not released. But then he runs to Houston and tries to blame us for uprising in Houston. These people ain't for you. And the reason why this keeps happening and continues to happen is because they don't speak up. They'll sit there all day and say, this is wrong and we shouldn't be doing that. I bet. Yeah, you're right. It is. But I don't see none of y'all going to jail. I don't see anybody speaking up. So, no, the system and the system of the oppressor is never going to change in your favor. So you need to need a whole new system. And, you know, I mean, shout out to people who want to have that conversation with them and sit down. Let's sit down and find ways to make. Nah, whatever. You got it. I don't think that's the way going forward. But that's just my personal opinion, and that's what my Confucius says. The Breaks Podcast is a production of KTX 989, the Austin Music Experience. You can listen to The Breaks Show live every Saturday night from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast. This podcast is produced by Confucius Jones, Fresh Knight, and Elizabeth McQueen. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter. We are at The Breaks KUTX, and you can find more episodes at KUTX.org/TheBreaks.
Our theme music was written and performed by Austin's own DZ Brown. Production support provided by Art Levy.